Thank you, Wendy. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you that you love each one of us and hold each one of us in your hand. Thank you that you love the world and that you hold the world and the whole universe in your hand too. As we appreciate that you are in control of the big picture of the world story, help us to understand how our own small stories, our small pictures, fit into the big picture. Thank you that you are the God of the wide sweep of history and the God of every detail of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Over recent weeks, I've really enjoyed watching the documentary A House Through Time on BBC Two. You might have watched it too. In this three-part series, historian David Olusoga examines the history of a large house, 5 Ravensworth Terrace, in Newcastle upon Tyne, describing the changes made to the building over its 200-year history, from a family home to a boarding house to a Salvation Army centre and back to a family home again. He also analyses the lives of its many inhabitants. The series has been fascinating as David has researched the stories of so many of the individuals in great detail, illustrating his research with photographs and finding living relatives of some of those inhabitants and explaining the lives of their forebears to them. But the story of those individuals was impacted hugely by the world they lived in at the time. For example, one eminent Victorian naturalist, Joshua Alder, did groundbreaking, significant work, but his money was all lost in the collapse of the bank in which he'd invested his money, and that was something that was quite common in Victorian times. He was only rescued from poverty by the compassionate and loving actions of his sister, with whom he lived, and his friends. Other residents of the house were bereaved with the loss of several children, even well into the 20th century. One was an IRA member at the time of the Irish uprising. Several families and individuals were devastated by the legacy of the First or Second World Wars and the demise of the shipbuilding industry in the northeast of England. The sweep of 200 years of history was interpreted by David Olusoga through the lives of the residents of 5 Ravensworth Terrace. And the life of each of those individuals was treated with respect and worthy of remembrance throughout the documentary. Their individual stories formed a series of small pictures, but they were part of the big picture of history and huge changes in the society in which they lived. The reading this morning from Acts chapter 9 is rather like a small snippet of A House Through Time, in that it focuses in detail on the life of a woman living in Joppa in Israel at the time of the very early days of the church. Either side of this chapter, Luke describes the huge sweeps of church history, the dynamic growth of the early church at Pentecost, and the conversion of an arch enemy of Jesus, Saul, who subsequently became known as the Apostle Paul. And after this morning's reading comes the revolution in the church to take the gospel to the Gentiles as well as to the Jewish people, and the fearful persecution of Christians that followed. In amongst these cataclysmic changes in the church and the world of the first century, we see this story of one woman, Tabitha, or Dorcas. Incidentally, just before today's reading is the account of the healing of a man called Aeneas, whom Peter healed in the name of Jesus. Luke draws our attention to these two quite ordinary Christian believers whose lives were changed by Jesus through his apostle Peter. Their stories flesh out the big picture of the early church by describing in detail the effect that their faith and the faith of their friends had on their own lives and how they demonstrated the power of the gospel. Let's focus on Tabitha or Dorcas for a moment. Tabitha, to use her Hebrew name, was a seamstress of great skill who made many clothes. I'm very thankful for people that can do that. I can barely thread a needle, so I'm so glad of people who are skilled seamstresses, tailors and dressmakers. But Tabitha was also a generous Christian woman who used her gifts to help the poor. Luke describes her as devoted to good works and acts of charity. She was clearly loved by her community in Joppa, as when they heard that Peter was in nearby Lydda, which is where he'd healed Aeneas in Jesus' name, they sent a deputation to Lydda asking Peter to come to Joppa. Why did they call on him with such urgency when Tabitha was already dead? She couldn't be healed. It was too late. Maybe in the early days of the church, not long after Jesus' own resurrection, the idea of people being raised from the dead was nearer to the top of the minds of Christian believers than it is now. And possibly, from their engagement with the scriptures, the Christians in Joppa would have been aware of God's work in history, as Elijah raised from death the son of the widow of Zarephath in the area of Sidon, told in 1 Kings chapter 17. They'd also have recalled the account in 2 Kings chapter 4 of Elisha raising the infant son of the couple in Shunem, where he often stayed. In both cases, the bodies of these young boys were laid in an upstairs room, away from the hubbub of domestic life, prior to being raised from the dead and restored to their families. In first century Joppa, there was clearly a hope that Tabitha might be raised from the dead, as her friends placed her body in an upstairs room, rather than taking her out to be buried quickly, as would normally have been their custom. Their faith in the power of Jesus was clearly great. Peter arrived promptly and went into the house, where he met the widows, who showed him the clothes which Tabitha had made. Possibly she'd made them for them, as they were likely to have been in need, with no husbands or families to support them. Peter knelt down and prayed by the body, and then called, "Tabitha, get up," which in Aramaic would have been, "Tabitha, kum," a phrase which would have sounded like the words Jesus used when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus had raised this little girl with the words Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And Peter was a witness to that event, and maybe he recalled those words as he raised Tabitha from death. Tabitha was indeed raised from the dead, and Peter called in her Christian friends and the widows to witness the miracle. Word of the raising of Tabitha spread throughout Joppa, and many people came to believe in Jesus. The small picture of Tabitha's life became part of the big picture of the spread of the Christian faith, as it gave a practical example of the power of the gospel. But there would have been many people in those early days of the church who died and were not raised from the dead, or who were ill and who were not apparently healed. What of them? Did God care any less about them? I'm certain that God loved and cared for others as much as he cared for Tabitha and for Aeneas. But these raisings from death and dramatic healings were not automatic answers to prayer, like putting a coin into a slot machine. They were events which helped to build the faith of believers and to draw others close to Jesus so that they could come to faith in him for themselves. And what about those for whom we pray? I'm sure we can think of people whom the Lord has healed, but others who apparently receive no cure. But we can be sure that Jesus cares for each one. He told his followers in the words from John's Gospel that we heard this morning, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." We will all perish from this life, but in the big picture of God's kingdom, we will receive eternal life through believing in Jesus. All who place their trust in Jesus can be sure that our eternal future is secured in him, even though we lose our lives on earth. We are all in the hands of Jesus, who will never let us go. So let's be encouraged as we pray for friends and family. Healings still happen today through God's work and through high-quality medical care. Some are raised from the dead today, although they will eventually die. The Spirit which raised Jesus and Tabitha from the dead is alive and work in the world now, and we can be sure that he has the power to do as he wills to glorify Jesus and grow his church. Jesus loves each of us individually. He knows and loves the small pictures of our lives. And he loves to see us play our part in the formation of the big picture of the world as we pray and work for the kingdom of God to grow. Let's thank God for the small pictures of our lives. The Lord loves and values every small detail about every one of his people. And so must we. While the church is formed from a group or even a mass of people, it is constituted of individuals. We cannot hope for the church to grow unless we model to the wider world our care for the small pictures. Only when we treasure other individual people can we be entrusted to be part of the big picture of a growing, vibrant church which witnesses the love of God to a needy world, to his risen glory. Amen.